Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Mark is entirely correct. He will be live for 2 hours tomorrow evening, beginning at his regular 5 p.m. Eastern time slot and covering the first hour of my show, since I'm going to be on the road tomorrow, God willing. And why? Well, I've mentioned it before, but in case you didn't hear it, it's time for yet another of the ongoing Seneca 2 lecture series. And tomorrow I will be in where the Seneca 2 lecture series takes place. I will be on the campus of West Virginia State University in Institute, West Virginia, not too awfully far west of the state capital of Charleston. And we will, in fact, bring you the Seneca 2 lecture series featuring Rabbi Arthur Waskow. And I look for this to be a real dandy. So that will start about 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Possum Standard Time. Mark will cover the first hour of my program for me. And I'm really grateful to Mark for doing so. So make sure you are around for that. If you're a podcaster, make sure that you catch that podcast. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it a lot. And I'm glad to have the opportunity from Seneca 2 to bring this to you. They're great folks. Look up the first Seneca meeting. If you want to know why this group is Seneca 2, look up what the first Seneca meeting was. And you'll get an idea of the motivation behind the Seneca 2 idea. Well, here we are at the middle of the week. And, of course, being Wednesday, you know, we are people of faith. So being Wednesday, it's not just a hump day. It's not just downhill to Friday or anything. Oh, no, 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 no. It's prayer meeting, brothers and sisters.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah. Solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. never said religion should be free.
Oh, glory, hallelujah, brethren and sistren, come on down the blood-red carpet and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you. Ha, glory.
That's right, it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I am Bishop Bob Kincaid. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense. And you are welcome to come and take holy, sane, rational communion. No little crackers turning into human flesh in your belly. No wine turning into blood. Although I have been known to partake of a little bit of the beer and tomato juice once in a while. It's very sweet, kind of like nanny goat's milk. Come on! Welcome aboard. Now, we've got a special edition of the program this evening for you. Let's go to our wildlife correspondent. Thank you very much. Be very quiet. We've got a fundy in the wild. Yes, we actually do. She's over there. See her? Rather pudgy, blonde. Yes, that's her. Now, some say she was once more recognizable. But don't make any sudden moves. They tend to run away at the slightest thing. These fundamentalists are even terrified. Yes, they're even terrified. Hear her? They're terrified of people based upon the color of their skin. Sudden moves, she'll scomp off into the bush. They call that one a Victoria Jackson.
Yeah, really. You remember Victoria Jackson, sort of the unfunniest member of Saturday Night Live back in one of its incarnations? She, the only thing I ever remember her in is the Toonces the Cat sketches. Really. Well, she's fundy, and she's a really, really icky bad fundy. And at her website, something that she calls my first political speech. I hope that America realizes that Obama is a communist before it's too late. Read 1984 by George Orwell. I read it twice and didn't get anything out of it, you stupid... Really? You read it twice, Victoria? Twice? Then you missed a whole bunch. 'Cause if you want to use the phrase Orwellian, I'm thinking you might be using that to describe... Yeah, you might be using that to describe the Bush administration, what with the suspension of habeas corpus and people taken away in the middle of the dark and still of the night and held without charge and no access to lawyers. That's Orwellian, Vicky!
Why am I voting for the fantastic McCain-Palin ticket? Simply because my worldview is based on the belief that the Bible is the inerrant holy word of God and the Republican stance on abortion...
Stance. I wonder if it's wide.
On abortion, marriage, government control, taxes, education, health care, charity, military, defense, democracy, and freedom lines up closest with the Bible's message.
Really? Really? There's a biblical message on abortion or... civil process? Because, see, Vicky, honey, maybe you weren't playing a bimbo all those years. Dumb person. Sorry, ladies, I'm not trying to be sexist. This just makes me nuts. Because, see, Vicky, your biblical worldview on marriage, honey, back then it was a property transfer. That's why there's all that language about how a man shall leave his family and cleave unto his wife, and his wife shall bring with her, yea, verily, 14 goats, 12 camels, and 36 sheep. It was a purchase. It was a transfer of animal flesh, and the woman was in the position of the animal being transferred. Yay, Bible. Let's vote, she says. Whoever Obama's paying to help him appear to be a Christian to win the evangelical vote is doing a terrible job. He should ask me for a few pointers. No, honey, I tell you what. Don't think so. First of all, quote, obscure reference in Romans is a dead giveaway that he's never cracked a Bible. Well, maybe it's not the Bible cracking, but the Bible reading, Victoria. Evangelicals love Romans. Well, that's true. They do. It's full of all kinds of icky stuff about telling other people how to live their lives with this sort of semi-pseudo-mystical BS from a guy who huffed too many fumes while he was making tents and then lost his mind walking down the road to Damascus one day and thought he saw Jesus. You know, if you study the history of St. Paul, there are hints inside the Pauline letters that indicate that maybe St. Paul, well, I mean, he says he was in on the persecution of other followers of Yeshua. He may even have been one of the temple guards that was in on the so-called passion. And, you know, when you've got that kind of hate, when you've done that kind of dirty business for any period of time, it will, if you've got any conscience at all, it will begin to drive you mad. You know, we're coming up on Halloween. Friday night will be actually Halloween. And I was thinking about, you know, well, we got to do a special reading for Halloween. The Raven's easy. But I was thinking, you know the one that just absolutely made me just terrified when I was a kid, the Edgar Allan poster, The Telltale Heart. That and The Cask of Amontillado. Just spoke to some of my deepest fears. And The Telltale Heart, where the man is going mad, 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 I tell you. Because he keeps hearing the beating heart. And it gets louder and louder and louder. The beating heart of the person he murdered. Well, that's kind of how it was with Saul of Tarsus. He was driven mad by the evil he did, and as a result of that, I mean, you know, go and find fundies in the real world, and it's the same thing. You know, one day they're out there running around with 30, you know, some guy's got 36 prostitutes following him, and, you know, I'm going to maul y'all! And say hello to my little friend and snorting coke and shooting up marijuana and just rubbing the heroin in betwixt his toes and doing all them evil things. Next thing you know, his life crashes and he, well, Jesus, hello. Come with me, my son. For some people, it's the only way out, and then they have to walk around the rest of their lives thinking that the earth's 6,000 years old, and that Jesus rode a dinosaur and not a donkey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Yeah, I know, Palm Sunday, don't. It's a defense mechanism, but this guy, of course, Saul of Tarsus, wrote letters all over the known world, and they hung on to him. And the fundamentalists that read it like they're, you know, you're reading somebody else's mail. You're not reading it's not the inspired word of God. You're eavesdropping. So she goes on, she says, and Obama, when you say things like sin is being out of alignment with my values, that is a blaring siren of biblical ignorance. The Bible says sin is being out of alignment with God's values. That's like the number one lesson in every book of the Bible. You really need some help. Your statements are New Age, relativist, and humanist.
Basically, they're textbook comments that go back to the first sin in the Garden of Eden when the serpent lied and told the serpent, oh my God, the talking snake.
The gossipy water moccasin. The chatty copperhead. Eve, come here. I want to speak with you. You certainly are looking scrumptious today. So, what are you having for lunch? Perhaps some apple sauce? Jesus.
New Age is the oldest false religion.
No, it's not.
Whatever religion came first is the oldest false religion.
Because they're all false!
Every last one. Every last one.
Well, except for the possum goddess and the flying spaghetti monster. Those are true religions. I know this because they spoke to me. See? See how it works?
Maybe. And she gives this a whole second, a whole paragraph all of its own.
Maybe you'll get saved and start loving unborn babies.
Well, maybe you'll, Victoria, maybe you'll become an atheist and start loving the ones that have been born! God, I hate hypocrites!
I don't want a political label.
You just bought one!
But here it is. Here it is. Wait for it. You know, I read this last night after the show, and I've been waiting all day to get on the air, and it's like my head's just gonna, like a pressure cooker full of brown beans that you just let go too long on the high heat, and boom, and everything.
I don't want a political label, but Obama bears traits that resemble the Antichrist, and I'm scared to death that uneducated people will ignorantly vote him into office.
Two, three, four. Oh, let me count the ways.
Obama bears traits that resemble the Antichrist.
Let me turn to the 33rd book of Flip-Floppians here. Oh, I gotta lick the thumb. Oh, there it is. Well,
and yea, verily, the Antichrist will be a really cool, darker-skinned guy who looks like everybody else in this neck of the woods, and he shall have a high-quality education from University.
Hey, Lysippus! What's this university thing?
Don't sweat it, John. They'll figure it out later. It's not for you. It's for 2,000 years from now.
Okay, thanks, Lysippus!
And he shall have a good university education, and he shall play basketball, and he shall run for elected office against a man with a great big lump on the side of his face, and come on. Oh, and he shall be thought to be a Muslim.
What's a Muslim, Lysippus?
Don't worry about it, John. That's 600 years from now. They'll get it. You won't. Just write it down.
Okay, Lysippus, thanks.
Oh, wow. There are trees growing out of the walls in the cave. I thought that bread tasted a little bit funny. And uneducated people will ignorantly vote him into office.
See, this is one of those classics of the religion industry. What she means by uneducated is have people whose minds are unstunted by religious poison.
See, they think that sitting around, and look, I've read, you know, there's another place on our website where she's,
and I have read the Bible all the way through.
Well, there's a big difference between reading and comprehension, Vicky.
But, you know, I've read the thing, I've read the whole thing, I've read the whole Quran.
I have not read all of those really long epic poems from India. I haven't done that yet. I'm saving that for when I'm really, really hard up for reading material. You know, with all the lots of arms or whatever.
Yes, yes, Kate! Yes, a Gabby Garter snake!
Let the alliterative games begin! Gabby Gartersnakes, Chatty Water, Chatty Copperheads. Come on, work on it, work on it. Yeah, I know, Gene. I know. News Ninja Gene. Uneducated? This from a person who voted George Bush into office? Oh, yeah, because there she is.
Thank you, President George W. Bush, along with God above and the brave soldiers in the U.S. military for keeping us safe these last 7 years from terrorist attacks on our homeland. I really appreciate it very much. XXOO, you did a capital G great job. And thank you, God above, for giving us George W. Bush and for giving us John McCain and Sarah Palin. Maybe she can come and cast the witches out of...
Proverbs 17:28 says, even the fool, when he keepeth his peace, is accorded wise. Fancy way of saying, you know, that it's better to be silent and thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. But we're not done. Oh, no.
You see, what bothers me most, besides being a communist and a racist, Obama writes in his book, From Dreams of My Father, I found a solace in nursing a pervasive sense of grievance and animosity against my white mother's race. Obama's religion of the last 20 years is black liberation theology. What is that?
I don't know, Vicky. Why don't you tell me?
It is simply Marxism dressed up in Christian rhetoric.
Well, what's Marxism, Vicky?
Haven't a clue. I think Satan wrote it. But unlike traditional Marxism, black liberation theology emphasizes race rather than class. Its leading theorist is James Cone.
What is this, a damn fifth grade book report?
Is James Cone, who says Jesus was black.
Victoria, Vicky, I mean, just, he wasn't all white and pasty like you, honey. I mean, you're twice the woman that he was a man. Really?
Who says Jesus was black, African Americans are the chosen people, and whites are the devil? Cone says, what we need is the destruction of whiteness, which is the source of human misery in the world.
Well, Vicky, why am I addressing this to her? She's not listening. She's an idiot. She probably can't get to her own website without help. Can you imagine Victoria Jackson trying to work an admin panel on a website? Whiteness, the source of human misery in the world. Well, if you have read Jared Diamond, and no, sadly, he's not in the Bible, but if you read Guns, Germs, and Steel, you would know, because Jared Diamond's pretty authoritative on this topic, that geography played a big role in how the world got to be in the shape it is. And, while some isolated migratory patterns might have resulted, or what did in fact result in the population of the Americas, you know, the Bering Land Bridge, Polynesians with really, really big canoes. I mean, we know that now. It's not conjectural. We know it. The first evidence of chicken bones are a Polynesian brand that comes from the South Pacific that are really, really old. I mean, they're so old, Colonel Sanders was only a private. Oh, that was just bad. But then they live there. They don't have heavy draft animals. No oxen. No horses. Yeah, the Peruvian peoples, or the peoples along the whole western coast of the South American continent, they did semi-domesticate or fully domesticate the llama, or llama, you pick. And
the Mesoamerican peoples had these little tiny dogs that you might think of them in terms of chihuahuas, but they're extinct now, so they're not chihuahuas. And they would take packs of them on forays, you know, journeys and such, and eat the dogs when times got tough. But no real domestication of animals. And what Jared Diamond points out is that because of the domestication of animals, well, it was the intermingling and the animal husbandry where things like measles and smallpox and pigpox and cornpox and chickenpox and possumpox and all of that stuff came from into the human population. Now, by the time they crossed the seas to the Americas, the white people had developed an immunity to it. But a sniffle could wipe out 10,000 people because they weren't immune in the Americas. So what was that? What is that you say James Cone says there, Victoria? Oh, yeah.
What we need is the destruction of whiteness, which is the source of human misery in the world.
Hitler wasn't a black guy. Neither was Stalin. Neither was Pol Pot. Those are the big three lately. But for that matter, neither were the popes. Neither was Jean Calvin. Neither was Martin Luther. And by the time you've gotten through that list, you really do have the source of most human misery on the planet. Brought to you by Whitey. And it's just true. I mean, the converse of that, being proud of your skin color, is, I don't know, like being proud of your carpet. You know, it's what's under the skin. It's what's in your brain. But conversely, being ashamed of yourself for your skin color, that's wherein lies the rub. Because there are vastly fewer white people, you know, ask the white supremacists, they'll tell you, there are vastly fewer white people on the planet than there are persons of darker hue. And that makes some white people very, very nervous. Why? Don't know. But it does. It really, really does. And so they have to, you know, that was, you know, Rudyard Kipling coined the term, the white man's burden. And, you know, there's a converse to all of this, you know. African Americans are the chosen people. Well, what are you arguing, Vicky, that Whitey is? Oh, wait a minute.
He pretends to be a Christian and he incriminates himself every time he speaks about Christianity.
Talking about Obama.
To lie about being a believer in Christ is very dangerous. Lightning could strike him at any minute.
Well, Vicky, I just happen to have a photograph here published over at the website of our buddies at Clyde, Wally, and Dookie at WD40.com, D-U-B-Y-A-D, the number 4, the number 0.com, WD40.com. And there's a facelift coming, by the way. I should remind you of that. And we're all going to have a high old time there. Under the heading, Who Wants It More, Dookie the Webmaster posts, God, this is just an inspiring photo. I mean, and it's not one of those that, it just is. It is from Pennsylvania yesterday. And it is a photograph of Barack Obama wrapped up in some sort of a coat, raincoat, I presume, with sideways rain driving onto him, with that finger pointed out there at the audience, making a point, with the rain driving in the background and a distant tree in the lower right-hand corner, grayed out and soft-focused by the torrential rain falling. Dookie the Webmaster titled that, Who Wants It More? Who wants it more? And the man standing in the audience with the rain pouring on him and a sign, handmade, hand-lettered, and all the sign says is hope. Just hope. And the rain beginning to drive the colors on the sign together. White merging with red to form a sort of muted pink. And that's inspiring. Because meanwhile, the McHoover campaign canceled their appearances due to the rain. And Obama walked out into it. Clean, refreshing, admittedly probably unpleasantly cold rain. But, you know, you can't have McHoover running around in the rain because, well, you know, he might slip and break a hip. And you can't have Mussolini running around out in the rain. Because you can't, I don't know if $10,000 buys entirely waterproof makeup. So there was a, and besides, you know, we know about Sarah Palin, and I don't think what Pastor Muthy did took, and you know, she gets rained on, she melts. You know, that's why she's mostly photographed standing in buildings, because if she speaks to people outdoors, there's a profound risk of somebody dropping a house on her. So Victoria Jackson's all upset because James Cone says Jesus was black, which he was. But, you know, she's a happy thing, Victoria Jackson. No, Victoria, you're not a bimbo. You're a bigot. You're a racist, and you are human filth. And by the way, you're about to hear her again. oh, this is what passes for celebrities when the National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee wants to put together a commercial for Norm Coleman in Minnesota in his race against Al Franken. Yeah, really.
Hello, Minnesota. I'm John Ratzenberger, and we in Hollywood are a bit worried that Al Franken is hurting our reputation.
Yeah, John Ratzenberger. No, apparently he really is Cliff Clavin. Ah, you know, we Clavins have a 34th molar back there. Proves we're the heir to the Romanov throne.
After all, we don't all write dirty articles for Playboy.
We're not all tantrum-throwing divas.
We believe in low taxes, but you still gotta actually pay them now.
And we love ice fishing.
So please.
Now wait, okay. I realize this is all visual and you don't see. These are all like Z-list actors. Cliff Clavin, who was last spotted narrating something incredibly obscure on a cable channel. Victoria Jackson was the second voice. Robert Davi, who has played like thugs and heavies, you know, he gets a call whenever it's time to be awful or mean. But then the best of all, oh dear God, the very best of all, Pat Boone, shirtless, with a fur hat on his head, standing in a swimming pool with a fishing rod. Yes, really. That's him saying this.
And we love ice fishing.
So please, Minnesota, don't.
See, you get the humor there? He's standing in a swimming pool ice fishing. Because global warming is a big joke.
And he didn't write dirty articles for Playboy.
No. Al Franken writes the dirty articles for Playboy. What Norm Coleman does with them, Victoria, we don't want to know. Okay? Okay. So that's, I couldn't resist. That's where we begin with prayer meeting tonight. And I think we have to maybe cover the ground that Mark covered previously with the, we have to cover the ground that Mark covered with the ad that Liddy Dole is running in North Carolina. And then it may take a little while. It may be some extended reading on my part, but I hope that you will bear with me. Because you're going to love what I got coming up. You're going to love it. And I'm not giving it away because I know you'll all Google it, and then, or maybe you'll dogpile it or something, one of those search engines, or and then you'll take all the stuff. Now, I'm not telling you. Let's see. Some more serpents for prayer meeting. Says Kate, Mendacious Mamba, the Bilious Bull, the Quintessential Queen, and the Running at the Mouth Rat Snake. Woo! I like that Running at the Mouth Rat Snake. Except I kind of like rat snakes, and they're yeah. Oh, coming from David in Tennessee regarding the photo of the man standing in the crowd with his sign getting rained on. That man's photo is this generation's version of that great shot of the bugler associated with the passing of FDR. Photo was taken by a Nashville native, by the way. Both of them, both of the photographs being, what's the word, eponymous? Maybe not. Ubiquitous? Really, really profoundly moving images of African Americans at a crossroads of history. I know exactly the photo that David is talking about. You probably do, too. So, running off at the mouth rat snake. That's me. Maybe I'm the running off at the mouth rat snake. And, yeah, ask the fundamentalists. They'll probably tell you. I have been told from time to time, way back when I was the young gospel DJ, the crazier than a sprayed roach program director who was, you know, a real floor rolling, strychnine drinking type, he looked at me and another fellow and said, "You two are Satan's emissaries to the gospel voice." It's always been that way. That's Bob Damian Kincaid. That's what they call me. Yeah. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. This is Juanita.
Hey, Juanita.
I think I have an answer about you saying why some white people are frightened about the blacks being more so.
Okay. Let's hear your theory.
I didn't say that very well, but anyway. I think I'm right. It's because they're afraid that if the black people did take over, that they would do unto them what they had done unto them.
In other words, terror and guilt.
Yep.
I think you nailed it.
I don't know if about guilt or not, even.
Well, yeah.
But they know what they did, and they think that the blacks would do the same thing to us, and they think they have a right to.
Or maybe that there is a right to do, we're talking about some fundamentalists, and they go all in for that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth business, don't they,
yeah.
Juanita?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe you're right. Maybe that is what motivates some of this stuff. They know, these people know they laugh and they kind of chuckle uncomfortably. All that stuff about white guilt.
Yeah, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Know what to say?
Yeah, that's
it. Wasn't me that did it.
Then why are you defending yourself? I mean, look, I can go back. I was doing some family research. I don't hesitate to talk about my family background and stuff. Six or seven or eight generations back, there's old property tax rolls, and yeah, there were, oh God, it's sickening to say, slaves.
Yeah, that's my understanding about some of mine too.
And all you can do is work away from it. I don't go in for that sins of the fathers business. But
yeah, I was just thinking about that, but I sort of think that's true.
I don't go in for the sins of the fathers being visited on the children,
But I do, I think I do believe in the children having an obligation to make good on the sins of the fathers.
The thing is that and people say, well, I didn't, and I have a friend who said that. But I said, you know, well, what would you have done if you lived back then? You know, have you thought about, you know, that people were wrong? You know, that was wrong, you know, and I do bring that up about the sins of the fathers. To me, that does make sense, but of course, you know, that's me.
Well, but it's everything that Christianity, to one degree or another, follows, has a lot to do with repentance and forgiveness.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting there going, well, you know, they was my ancestors, but I ain't got nothing to repent for.
Right.
Well, then forgiveness ain't coming along anytime soon, now is it?
No, that's the way I feel about it, yeah. However you want to interpret it. But, yeah, I do believe that because, well, in a way, think about it, Bob, if you do continue with that thought and don't regret what your ancestors might have done or your forefathers, then you're subject to it coming down the road because you won't be teaching your children any different.
Exactly. That's what I was talking about by the next generations making good
uh-huh.
on it. Learn from the mistakes of the past and try not to repeat them.
Like my mother taught me about the Holocaust, and I've taught my son. You know, it just, and a lot of people don't do that. There's just a lot of things that we need to know about that, you know, that has happened, and hope that it won't be repeated again.
That it won't be repeated again as long as we are all paying attention.
Right, right. Just like now, you know, people say, oh, you know, that they didn't think it was bad for us to torture people. Well, my Lord of mercy, you know, we get it. You talk about values going wrong.
Well, they'd have a purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy if somebody tortured an American soldier.
Of course, some people tried to use the excuse about them beheading us, but they didn't do that until that came out, you know,
They weren't beheading anybody.
Torturing them.
They weren't beheading any Americans until Americans were there.
There, that's right.
With the exception of Daniel Pearl, who
right.
And you know, you're dealing with fundamentalist insane people, and the people that beheaded Daniel Pearl aren't a far cry different from people like Victoria Jackson. That's the point.
Well, those people that were gonna try to assassinate Obama.
Yeah, sure.
They were gonna cut off 8 people's head and kill, what was it?
No, they were going to kill 88 and behead 14.
Yeah.
One for every word in their little credo.
And then they were going to dress up, like you said, and go out and
go out in a blaze of glory, shooting it out in Confederate alleys.
Yeah. And do you remember, did you used to watch or ever watch Bill Maher's show, am I pronouncing it right?
Yeah.
No, not the one on...
No, politically incorrect back when he was on ABC before they threw him off the air for saying that the terrorists on 9/11 weren't cowards.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I used to see that.
Well, you know, Victoria was on there a lot. But also, do you remember Rosie O'Connell? Not O'Donnell, but O'Connell. The sweet-faced little girl that was trying, you know... She was trying to talk him into being saved, and she was totally, had all that stuff about Bill Clinton, and she was totally against Bill Clinton. You know,
I don't remember her.
She was dark haired, and she was always smiling, and you know, she was cute, but she'd come out with this stuff, and she was even on for Fox. I think she even had a show one time, but she's come out now. She's running against Biden for the Senate. You know, his term is up.
I'll be darned.
You look it up online and you see. But
by the way, Victoria Jackson here, she She's apparently at one point in time she's got really really mad.
She got really really mad at Joy Behar. I'm really tired of your hatred rants.
Hatred rants, not hateful, but hatred.
I'm really
but
tired
it's all
of
right for Elizabeth to have them.
Right, I'm sure. No, there's no letters to Elizabeth in here.
I'm really tired of your hatred rants against President Bush. Have some respect for authority and for the people like me who voted for him. I did not vote for Bill Clinton, but I would never use my Saturday Night Live connection to publicly criticize him, and I would never speak of another human being with such vitriol. President Bush did not start the war against America, and he is doing a great job with the situation that was put upon him. Also, we do not have a king. Our system of government has checks and balances. Instead of complaining, why don't you take a political history course and run for office and see what good you can do for the world? The tongue is a powerful little thing. Use it for some good.
Well, in fact, Joyce Behar said she just might do that.
Well, maybe she's taking
Victoria's advice.
Yeah, advice from Lord 2005 or something. Oh, what a sad little moron she is.
I'm telling you, Bob, just something else.
Well, and you know, she's quoting from wallbuilders.com. This is the right-wing outfit that got caught making up Abraham Lincoln quotes.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, wallbuilders.com, they're a bunch of frauds. They make
they
stuff
up. They made up quotes?
Yeah, they make stuff up to support their agenda and attribute it to, you know, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham
You're
Lincoln.
Kidding.
No,
I
no.
I didn't know about that.
They're fundamentalists. They're liars.
So, yeah. She says, PSS,
intelligence, patriotism, Christianity, and a firm reliance on him who has never yet forsaken this favored land are still competent to adjust all our present difficulty.
Abraham Lincoln, probably made up. Because, you know, there's Abraham Lincoln who says God has never yet forsaken this favored land. The one that was full of enslaved human beings.
He said that let's pray that we'd be on God's side. He said when...
That was the first thing that came to my mind, too, Juanita, when I read this. Yeah, and he said, people ask me if I believe that God is on the side of the Union. I'm not nearly so concerned with whether God is on the Union side as whether we are on God's.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes I think all the good language got used up a century ago. You know what I mean?
And, you know, when you read, like, the letters... different things that the soldiers wonder, how are they educated? A lot more educated than we are today. You know, in writing.
Oh, absolutely. Writing, grammar. You know, spelling was kind of rough, but that's because spelling had not been standardized at that point in American history.
Yeah. And believe me, a lot of college graduates have trouble with spelling today, you know.
Probably more than used to, thanks in part to spell check.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Yeah, I believe you.
If it wasn't for, well, like in Microsoft programs, they got spell check and grammar check.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for those, probably 80% of everything that gets written in America on a daily basis would be nothing but run-ons, comma splices, sentence fragments, and misspells.
I took a course in income tax course one time, and that's before, you know, you were allowed to use any kind of calculator.
Right.
And I found out that I had really got dependent on the calculator, that, you know, it was really hard for me to adjust to just doing it on my own.
I know exactly what you're talking about, Juanita, and this is a geezer moment with Bob, okay? This is one of those, you kids, get off my lawn. My kids go into their math class, and they are, you know, they're not, it's not optional. They are expected to have calculators. And I bust out all geezer on them, and I say, why don't you learn to do it in your head first? Because, you know, back in the day, you know, when I rode to high school on a dinosaur's back, Juanita.
Yeah. Through all that snow and.
Yeah, up 7 miles, 7 miles to and from, uphill both ways. Right.
Right.
Through 8 feet of snow. I had this marvelous chemistry teacher. And she went on right after, I think I've told the story about it, right after I left her class in that high school, she was named the American Chemical Society's Chemistry Teacher of the Year.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, for the whole country. And I think it's probably because she successfully got me through chemistry.
But anyway,
she made us, when it, you know, they weren't doing this in the math department, and they weren't doing it anywhere else. But by golly, when you got to her chemistry class, she would walk around and she would lay a slide rule in front of every student.
Yeah.
And say, guess what? Before you ever get to touch a calculator in this class, you're going to learn to use that.
Yeah.
And frankly, we all did. I doubt if I could do it now.
Yeah.
But by golly, using the human mind and a little mnemonic like the slide rule, you can solve all kinds of math problems.
Uh-huh. Sure.
I am stuff
in charts and stuff and those pencils with a thing on it, compass on it.
No. And now, graphing calculators and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. All that newfangled stuff. Spell check, grammar check, calculators, all these things, they're tools. They are tools to be used by people who already understand the principles behind them. However, my kids are going to school and they're not getting taught to use these things as tools, but as the answers in themselves.
Yeah.
And I guess, just sort of to bring it full circle, Juanita, that's kind of the difference between how maybe you and I might use a holy book like the Bible versus how these fundamentalists use it. You and I might open it up and read something in Proverbs and go, hey, that's pretty smart. That's worth reading. Hey, you know what? That's handy to have. Or we read the words of Yeshua in the Gospels and, hey, nothing's changed there. It's still true. Love thy neighbor.
Yeah.
But the fundies pick it up, and they view the Bible not as having valuable lessons inside it, but the Bible itself is something that they worship as a god.
You know, I think you're right about that.
And when you do that, you take all the force, because you can have a dozen of them, but if you don't open them, they don't mean anything.
Right.
Oh Lord, the recovering Southern Baptist is sneaking back out of me tonight, isn't it?
They depend upon what the guy in behind the altar says.
Well, exactly, because in the Middle Ages, when everybody was covered in filth and they crawled in mud all the way to the church door. When they built the great cathedrals, all the great cathedrals had all this beautiful stained glass in it, and all the beautiful stained glass were picture tellings of Bible stories.
Yeah.
And it's because people then couldn't read, so that, the Theodoric Barber of York could look down to Theodoric Yorkson and say, you see, son, over there is Isaac, mm-hmm. about to be sacrificed, and the ram is in the bushes, yea, verily. You're lucky I don't do that to you. And that's how the content of the Bible was conveyed, because people were illiterate and couldn't read it for themselves.
Well, and that also a lot of where the statues came from.
Sure.
I know that they the Baptist church I went to, they were really against the Catholics for that.
Oh, idolaters! Absolutely, I heard that all the time. Yeah. Mary worshipers. That's what they are, is Mary worshipers. Yeah. Just disgusting stuff. Disgusting. But the fact of the matter is what we have seen, though, because these tides of fundamentalism come and go, and we're in the middle of one of the, not going but coming, what you have is the fundamentalists behaving the same way that the medieval illiterates did. In other words, they've got a Bible, but they'd just as soon be painted a picture. In this era, they want a YouTube video about Jesus. They want Mel Gibson to deliver. They want to feel like the little blood drops are hitting them right off the movie screen, instead of getting in there and actually reading about it.
Yeah, it's really something to think about.
It is, and I personally advocate reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because it has informed so much of the rest of our literature. And I go back to taking one of those graduate school exams that I had to take once upon a time. And lo and behold, the English literature part of the test was practically all Bible verses.
Oh.
And this was something that this was a test I had to take to get into grad school.
Yeah.
And it was all Bible verses. And I'm like, couldn't there have been a question in there about James Joyce or Hemingway or Faulkner or Chaucer or something? But instead it was, you know.
And another thing is a lot of mythology, too.
Sure, sure.
And I was fortunate to have a sixth grade teacher that she just really, we did a half a year on Greek mythology and Roman mythology. And then I started, you know, later on recognizing how they used Achilles' heel and all like that, you know. And I'm really glad, and I liked it, too.
Oh, it's fascinating. And,
it is.
I mean, we have always, in this family, we've always kept a copy of Edith Hamilton's mythology on the shelf, you know, because you can pick it up for next to nothing in a used bookstores. And she was just it was a beautiful compendium of so much of the mythos.
Who was it that wrote it?
Edith Hamilton.
Write that down.
Yeah, Edith Hamilton. It's just called Mythology. Yeah, you can't go wrong. All the beautiful little synopses and everything.
I don't know much about the Teutonic stuff, you know, but...
Oh, they were all angry.
Well, all the other ones that I, you know, we studied about, they were all screwed up, like, they were very human-like.
Yeah, and that's what it all is. It's all reflect... Look, Old Testament Yahweh, he's a juvenile delinquent. You know, he's pissed off at everybody. But he's mad and he's vindictive and you didn't do it my way. So, yea, verily, I shall smite thee. And as a consequence of that, he's a reflection of the very vindictive cultures that surrounded his rise. You know, on the other hand, you've got, the cult of Ishtar in Babylon and there were temple prostitutes and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
This doesn't, you know, none of this stuff exists in a vacuum.
But you know, go ahead.
No, please.
I mean, you know, like people will talk about the people over in Iraq. You know, we're going over there to help them build up stuff. Well, of course, we're not doing that exactly, but those people, they have centuries and centuries more of a history and knowledge than we do, and they can get out. They could have probably already, with the money we were putting in there, they could have probably already had that place all built up just nice as you would want.
And we wouldn't have a power vacuum that we were worried about Iran filling. See, that's one of the things like the right-wingers are still hollering about, well, if we leave Iraq, then the Iranians will take over. Well, that's only because we destroyed Iraq's ability to defend itself.
You know, I was, I've heard today, I believe somebody said that, maybe it was Joyce Behar, said that they wish that Bush would just go on vacation over to Baghdad since
the surge is worse
over there now. I like to see all those people going out there and just going to those shops, you know, like the one Graham did, and get, you know, without all those guards and all. I mean, they don't have to worry about that now, do they?
Oh, no, George can go shopping.
Yeah.
And Laura can go with him, won't even have to wear flats.
And all that new stuff they've built for those people, all that wonderful new things they've built for them, all those schools and hospitals, and, you know, this is the stuff they're feeding to the people in the churches.
Yeah, it is, and that's part of what I got coming a little bit later, but right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go, Bob, and have a safe trip tomorrow.
I'm going to try. Right now it's a matter of Matter of getting there.
Yeah. How far away is it?
Oh, it's about 65 miles.
60?
Yeah. Yeah, about 60 miles there. Not too
well, down here it wouldn't take probably take you that long if you didn't have a traffic jam.
But. Well, but I got to go down the mountain.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not like we got to use ropes and ladders or anything, but that actually takes the biggest,
takes the biggest part of the time?
Yeah, 40 miles of it's two-lane road with a cop, with a cop behind every tree with a radar gun.
Wow.
Because, see, and it's this way in many states. It's not just West Virginia. Municipalities, counties, state and local governments have been stripped of the federal money that was coming down to them, so they're having to make their revenues up the other way.
Oh, well, that's down here, too.
Yeah, sure.
I know what I'm wanting to tell you. You know, we had, I've already voted. We've had, on there, the ballot, we've got a bunch of amendments or whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call those things, propositions?
Well, or constitutional amendments, sure.
Yeah, and one of them is to do away with the rights of the, well, actually, basically it's to do away with the rights of the gays. And they've got some advertisement down here, an older man, an older woman, and they're not gay, but they've got the agreement where they can take care of one another?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, that could be a civil union, or it could be powers of attorney, things like that.
Yeah, something, you know, where that they can go in, and he said she had breast cancer and said she would have had to wait a long time for somebody else to come in besides him, where he was allowed to go in, you know, and have visitation rights, and he had authority to sign for her. They have, they're like a couple, only they're not married.
Okay.
And I never thought about that part of it, you know, I don't think anybody else did. I thought it was a pretty good ad.
Well, when we talk about marriage or something like that, though, marriage has, what did Mark Levine say, you know, 1,400 rights attached to it or something?
Yeah,
and that other things don't have, and everything else is just a stopgap.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the fact that the United States, the people of the United States have not considered the fact that they were disenfranchising a significant portion of the population from basic constitutional rights is no reason that now that we have seen that we shouldn't correct the mistake. I mean, it's the same thing with slavery or civil rights or the enfranchisement of women.
Well, I think that if they think that gays shouldn't have those rights, then they shouldn't have to pay income tax either.
Well, hear, hear.
Be tax-free. If they don't have their rights.
Well, yeah, no taxation without representation.
Right.
There's a thought.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, thank you very much, Juanita.
Okey-doke. You have a good evening.
You too. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye now. Wonder if the marriage equality movement's ever thought of that. No taxation without representation. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So that's where we start this evening. And your calls, of course, are always welcome, especially on prayer meeting night. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or on your nickel, your dime, your buck, 304-658-3333. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
Oh yes, my roof's got a hole in it and I might drown. There was a crooked man and he had a crooked smile. Had a crooked sixpence and he walked a crooked mile. Had a crooked cat and he had a crooked mouse. They all lived together in a crooked little house. Ah, ah, oh no, don't let the rain come down.
got a hole in it and I might drown. Oh yes, my roof's got a hole in it and I might drown. Well, this crooked little man and his crooked little smile took his crooked sixpence and he walked a crooked mile. Bought some crooked nails and a crooked little bat. Tried to fix his roof with a rat-a-tat-tat-tat.
Welcome to Seton Notes. I'm Tony Seton. Fritjof Capra wrote The Tao of Physics and the Turning Point, and he noted that at times of transformation, the world seemed to spin faster, and those who lacked internal balance tended to fly out to the sides. Such conditions, he said, were marked by an increase in cultist activities as people, feeling a loss of moorings, gave up their personal responsibility and grabbed for whatever they could. Fundamentalism has answered the call for many people suffering from a feeling of chaos and not understanding that the only way to find balance is by going inside themselves for the truth. The desperation they feel is so corrosive of personal moral authority that they buy into the crowds of similarly lost and frightened people, viz. The megachurches and the hypocritical flip-flopping sheepherders, and how many of them are caught with their hands in other people's pockets. These thoughts came to mind when I got a note from my former preacher friend Wayne, who was responding to the Palin hype. He said, "She's creepy. I met a lot of Sarah Palin types when I was in the ministry. Part of my long, sad history of dealing with these born-again fanatics in every parish that I served. Many pastors found themselves losing their parishes because of the trouble caused by these self-righteous, judgmental, controlling people. Now here they are knocking on the door of the presidency." There is an un-American degeneracy about these extremists who are ready to force their beliefs on the rest of us in denial of the foundation principles of our democratic republic. They don't believe in freedom of religion or separation of church and state. They are obsessively convinced that their way is right and everyone else is wrong. The worst of them believe they will only be saved when the world is destroyed, and they seem to be looking forward to it. And that's Seton Notes. For more, go to SETONNOTES.com. I'm Tony Seton.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
All righty. A couple of little things before we go into what I really wanted to spend some time on this evening. For all of you out there, look, no, I'm not going to point this at you. I'm just going to tell you where I'm coming from on this and let you, you know, this ain't the marching orders program. Little chart out there. Again, I found it over at WD40.com. And it shows, based on polling in battleground states between October 22nd and October 26th, 2008, battleground states. Everything's got to have a blood reference. Maybe someday we'll learn to write in a color besides that of blood. Maybe then we'll learn to be truly human. Or maybe, well, never mind. In Florida, Barack Obama leads John McCain, and this is the horse race aspect, but that's not the purpose of me mentioning this, 45% to 43%. One doesn't know what the margin of error is, but it's probably 3 or 4%. So that margin alone suggests it could go either way. But I'm not concerned with the red bar, and I'm not concerned with the blue bar. I'm concerned with the gray bar, and that number is 12%. Supposedly, those are the don't know or other category. In North Carolina, Obama leads Grumpy McHoover 48% to 46%. The don't know other category is 6%. In Ohio, it's Obama 48%, McCain 41%, undecided is 10%. And it goes like that. Virginia, undecided 11% with a 7% margin between McCain and Obama, with Obama leading. In Pennsylvania, it's a 12% margin with a 9% undecided contingent. The same thing, 12% in Nevada, 9% undecided. 9% margin for Obama in Colorado, 9% undecided. New Hampshire is 55% to 37% in Obama's favor with 9% undecided. You know me. I have no reason to trust. I have never been given reason to trust the for-profit-only media. And I don't believe, and since it's Wednesday, we can use that miserable little word, believe. And I acknowledge that most of what I'm saying is not based upon fact. Therefore, the appropriate word to use is believe. I don't believe that there's any such thing as an undecided voter in this country. I absolutely do not. I think there are voters who try to fudge the polls when they get the phone call. It's kind of like the seating of the O.J. Simpson jury back in the 90s. How could you possibly find 12 people who knew absolutely nothing about that case? There were rocks on the moon that knew about the O.J. Simpson case. Undecided, don't know, other, liars. And, you know, we give these things cute little names like the Bradley effect. And maybe that's what it is. 12% undecided in Florida. Of that 12%, what number would you say were safely, would you feel safe saying were unreconstructed racists who just weren't going to say? North Carolina, 6%. I'd just about, not that I got $5 to bet, but I'd bet you $5 that entire 6% is racist in North Carolina. Trying to hide, and make sure that they sneak death and damnation and hell on earth in for 4 more years in the form of a hateful old man and an even more hateful running mate. Ohio, 10%. Virginia, 11%. Come on! You know what that is. You can spot it from a mile away. New Hampshire, 9%. And see, that's the thing about Nevada, Pennsylvania, Colorado, and New Hampshire. The margin of error plus the undecided still shows a solid lead for Barack Obama. But in Virginia, Ohio, North Carolina, Florida, you think racism isn't playing a part in that little gray bar? Think again. And that's why things like those hateful little flyers, you know, Democrats vote on November 5th. Republicans vote on November 4th. That little flyer in Virginia, where was it put out? It was put out over Hampton Roads? Yeah. There's a reason why. A lot of new voters. A lot of military voters. And what do military voters do? Well, they're in the order following business now, aren't they? You know, what level of detail? You know, it was pointed out that stupid little flyer, whoever the fraudster was who put it together, misspelled the word electoral. But how many people are going to catch that in an era like what I was talking to Juanita about? How many people are going to catch that in an era where we rely on the spell checker? In an era where most emails look like they were written by E.E. Cummings because nobody bothers to capitalize letters anymore. How many people are going to catch that? How many people how many targets of that flyer need to take it for serious for it to have an effect in a state where a handful of votes decided a senatorial election just 2 years ago? How many people? And, yeah, Mark did run this during his show. I'm going to run it again because it bears a little bit more discussion. The ad that Elizabeth Dole, the hateful wife of that hateful thug Robert Dole, the ad that she's now got running in North Carolina. America, America. Man sheds his waste on thee.
I'm Elizabeth Stoll, and I approved this message.
A leader of the Godless Americans Pack recently held a secret fundraiser in Kay Hagan's honor.
There is no God to rely on. There was no Jesus.
Taking under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, you're down with that.
We're down with that.
And in God we trust, you're going to whip that off the money?
Yeah, we would.
Godless Americans and Kay Hagan. She hid from cameras, took godless money. What did Hagan promise in return?
There is no God.
And that last, there is no God! That's like, it's a voice saying, all the food is gone! As the folks over at Think Progress point out, Kay Hagan is not only not godless, she is an elder at the First Presbyterian Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. She's been a Sunday school teacher. She's accompanied youth mission trips. But that never slows down the Republican Party. Because the only thing that moves the Republican Party, and the only thing that they know moves their weird-ass base, is hate. They're controlled by hate, driven by hate. They have hate on their cereal in the morning, hate on their pancakes on Sunday. They hate, they hate, they hate, they hate. I try not to use that word, hate, when I'm describing someone that I disagree with or openly dislike. But fundamentalist Republicans really challenge that in me. Mama and Dad were really, really serious. Son, don't say hate. Don't say you hate something. That's such a powerful word. Don't say it. Reserve it for what it really, really means. And I've passed that lesson on to my children. Hate injustice. Hate fear. Hate bigotry, hate prejudice, hate racism, hate fascism. Don't hate people. But these Republicans do hate. And in a state like North Carolina, what was the number? Come on, what was the number? 6% undecided? You think 6% can't be swayed by that? Then you're not thinking, you're believing. It will work in North Carolina. And see, that's the thing. Granted, Liddy Dole has spent all of 30 days in the last how many years in North Carolina? Not so many. But this is also about, all these things dovetail together. And this is as much about Obama as it is about Kay Hagan. Because it subtly draws attention to Reverend Wright and all of that stuff, doesn't it? The godless pack. And look, it's guilt by association. And that's all they've had, this whole thing, this whole campaign long, is guilt by association. Oh, well, you know, he went to a church where Reverend Wright preached. Well, that must mean he's Reverend Wright. Oh, look. Kay Hagan took money from the godless pack. Really? And that's a problem. Why? You know, if you're standing up for somebody's right not to believe in God, that means that you're right as a believer in whatever invisible thing you believe in is pretty secure. Because if you cannot believe in God, then the converse of that is equally true. The Kay Hagan campaign is seeking a cease and desist order against Dole for her latest ad, the reporting says. Oh, really? Nice. Charming. Yes, an activist judge has muzzled the Dole campaign from speaking the truth about godless Kay Hagan. I mean, come on. Oh, I could make a fortune as a Republican consultant. I really, really could. This is sickening in the extreme. Absolutely disgusting. And Levine is right. It says clearly in the Constitution, there shall be no religious test for holding office. But that's only in the Constitution, and we know what George Bush says about the Constitution. It's a GD piece of paper. There is a religious test in America. I remember hearing it said some years back, reading it said, I would rather have the most ignorant Christian in office than the most brilliant atheist. And that wasn't some guy from up a holler around here. That was one of those noted dominionist, reconstructionist freaks out there. Of course he'd rather have an ignorant, follower, superstitious follower of a bunch of religious baloney. Of course that person would, because they can be led around by the nose. Look at what goes on in Washington with their little prayer breakfasts. Oh, Jesus, we do pray that you drop the mighty bomb upon the Iranian heathens, or let George Bush or Israel do it. Amen and amen. Religion is the single most toxic factor in the American body politic. It holds us back. It keeps us from accomplishing the real genius of this country. I don't have to remind you that more preachers took to the pulpit before the Civil War, the War Between the States, the War of Northern Aggression, that little dust-up in 1860, more preachers took to the pulpit and waved their Bibles in the air, screaming as to how slavery is an institution anointed and established by Almighty God. And here a little closer to home for me, the coal companies paid them, the preachers, to stand in the pulpits of the churches that the coal companies owned and scream, they have a name. They have a name for Satan now. It's unionist, socialist, Bolshevik. Ain't nothing new in none of this. Been there, got that flogging. Early union movement? They're commies. Dark-skinned man runs for the president 120 years later? He's a commie. And that's part of this, too. I got another story out there. The right wing is screaming that the Employee Free Choice Act will take away a worker's precious, most precious right to a secret ballot. Oh, God. When, in fact, what it'll do is actually make workers able to join a union, get health care benefits, have a voice in the workplace, and not be subjected to hours on end of haranguing from the company, as they do now. But that's okay. The right wing has to lie about it. And lie, and lie, and lie. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Well, hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you, my friend?
Well, I'm just surviving.
You know, it's funny. It's funny how every time I think of you, the phone, you wind up dialing up the next night. What's going on here?
I don't know either. You know, sometimes you just have, I don't know, it's a connection. You have a connection with people, Bob?
I do believe we do.
Do you care about them? I mean, other than your stuff, I know you care about your family. That is a given, yeah? It's a given. If you care about yourself, that's unhealthy. If you care about someone else, you know, that person in Baghdad that got the bomb dropped on their house today, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, it doesn't matter whether we dropped it or they dropped it. You know, it's the we, they thing.
Yeah, the corpses don't ask those questions, do they, Bob?
No, they don't. They don't. They don't ask, hey, why did you drop that bomb on me? I mean, I've seen pictures. Oh, my God. And I have memories of that time. But let me ask,
Yeah, would it be okay to do it to somebody the next county over?
Yeah, or would you, hey, would you just wish, I mean, just for a moment, that we, the people of this planet, could be still, just be still, and then stop for a moment and ask yourself, could I do this to my wife, my child, to my neighbor, to my friend? No, you couldn't. But yet, the Republican Party continues to do the same thing to you every night of the week, every day. They terrorize you. They frighten you. They teach you to be afraid. Now, please, don't be afraid. Do what you know you must do. Vote for Obama, please.
Yeah.
Because he may be a black man, or maybe he's a white man. God only knows. He is a man.
Hey, Bob, how about if he's just a human?
He's a man, Bob.
A human.
You and I. He's a human being. And he's a good man. If you listen to his voice, what he says from his heart, Bob, it doesn't come from some think tank. It comes out of his heart. He's not lying to you. He's telling you the truth. He will do the very best he can once he is elected. He can't promise you anything, but he's going to try. And that's the better thing. It's the better angels of his nature. He is going to. And that Michelle, she's a beautiful young lady, but she ain't wearing no origami suits from the Republican Party. She's wearing whatever, okay?
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, the whole show puts on her or whatever. She's not a phony. That girl is straight up, Bob.
Oh, I love the clip I saw of her on the Tonight Show the other night.
I saw it too.
Daddy, are you going to break into my Disney time? No, honey. Okay, bye. Because otherwise, they're going to have a talk.
Yeah, think about it. It's not them. It's us. It's all of us, Bob. It's all of us people of this earth. And we need to start working together, not trying to make the other man better or worse, but thinking of the other man as a human being, like you just said, or maybe thinking about ourselves a little bit less, just a little bit, okay? And then after you think less of yourself, think more about the other man or the other person, woman, or whatever. But I have to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
If there was someone better than I, who was he? If there's somebody that cares more about their neighbor than themselves, who was he? And then maybe step back and look at yourself. For a change, and ask yourself this one question.
All right.
Can I do something, one thing that can change this whole thing for the better? And it would be this. Vote for Obama. Please vote for him. Doesn't matter what his skin color is. Doesn't matter what his mama was. Don't matter what his daddy was. It matters what he is, and he is a good man, Bob.
Yes, he is.
Is that?
That's why I'm going to go down there on election day, and I'm going to cast my ballot here in a state that he's not expected to win. But you know, I got one chance to do one thing to help, yes. And I'm going to do that one thing.
Then you did the right thing because you didn't look at his skin color. You didn't look at his short time in the United States Senate. He didn't look at his affiliations with us. Hey, Bob, you have put up with me for a couple of long, long years. And you know what? I am not the best person on this planet. I can guarantee you that. Your daddy and I have a lot in common. And we did what we had to do in a bad place. And we had to look at ourselves afterwards and hope and pray that our sons and our daughters would never have to go where we went. And now I'm asking the listeners. Bob, you know it, and I know it, and your father knows that Ken and I are one. He's a good man. He's gone to his reward, and I pray that it is a good place that he rests in this evening with your mama. But listen, people of this earth, do what is in your best interest. Not in my best interest, or in Bob Kincaid's best interest, or in the best interest of even the Head-On Radio Network. But do what is in the best interest of all of us. And vote for this young man. Give him a chance, and maybe, just maybe, we will see Camelot again. Maybe we will see this beautiful thing that JFK started. And maybe this...
You know, let me throw another maybe in there for you, Bob, if you don't mind.
All right.
Maybe a mother will see her son come home whole from Iraq.
Yes. Oh, absolutely, because I do believe that Obama will end this useless war. He will put a stop to it. First, he will tell the Congress and the Senate, which I do believe will be Democratic, to pull a purse string. Okay? If you take the money away, they got nothing. They got no money to make war with. Come on, old boys. And we will mourn our dead just like we do the 59,000, nearly 60,000 dead on the black wall of shame that they call the Vietnam Memorial in Washington.
No shame for those men and women whose names are on it.
It is a black mark against Americans that allowed it to go on for 10 long years. And we've been into this one for 5 now, Bob.
Yeah. Yep.
How many more will we mourn?
And, you know, we had, oddly enough, and Bob, I've got suckered into it, too. We've talked about the economic collapse and the economic chaos and the bank heist that was done by the Congress with the $700 billion billionaire bailout bill. We talked about that a lot, and we've talked about Sarah Palin and what a fundamentalist weirdo she is. But at the end of the day, you're absolutely right, Bob, and thanks for pulling me back to the track. We've got a 5-year-old war that if we fight it for 500 years will not end in anything you or I or 8 generations from now would recognize as victory.
That's right.
Please. And it's got to damned well end.
And I believe, no, I don't know for a fact, Bob, but I do believe that Barack Obama, a black-white American, or a white-black American, I don't care which way you slice it, he is an American, and he's a good American, and he believes he can make a difference. Now, Bob, it's our turn to make that difference for him. Vote for the man. Give him your faith. Just
well, and you make me want, you know, how many people within the sound of my voice have called and said, I'll give people a ride to the polls. You know, how many people have said, you know, who needs a ride? I'm there. I'll bet you, Bob, that it's a larger percentage than you or I suspect.
I would believe it. I would believe it. I really do.
Because I get the sense that there is a direness about this, that this is the last chance of the Republic.
No, Bob. This is the last chance for humanity, Bob. You said that word, humanity. Humanity. Just for all of us. Not what I believe in, or what you believe in, or what your mama believed in, or what your daddy believed in, but the last best hope. And I believe.
Of Earth. Yep. Abraham Lincoln. The last best hope of Earth.
Yes. It's the last best hope for all of us. That we at least just want to step outside of ourselves and do that which is best for ourselves, our neighbors, whether they be Hispanic or whether they be Caucasian or whether they be Afro-American, no, Negroid or whatever. Just do what is best for all of humanity. And maybe, just maybe, we can stop this juggernaut that was started by Richard M. Nixon. And I was there. Okay? It was started back then. And I served under that administration, but it was the beginning of the end. Dwight David Eisenhower warned us about it, and his VP, okay, Richard M. Nixon, really kicked it off. That was the Congressional Industrial
Military
Complex.
Yep.
And they have done us wrong. And it's time that we stop these liars, these cheats, and I can't even think of the word to describe them. It is time that we reach out in our, what is that we have, that wonderful thing that can stop them, and vote for a change and vote for Obama, because he really hopes to make a change. And, hey, then we can weed out the rest of the scum, whether they're dinos or dinos or whatever you want to call them. We can weed them out after we put this man into the White House, because he's the best man for the job. The best man running, anyway. And
yeah, there's only two with a chance, and of the two, this is obviously the better one.
Well, hey, go for the best choice. And hey, if it's that, then do it. And if, hey, you think otherwise, you're not on my team, because I believe in you, Bob Kincaid. I believe in you. I believe in you as a person. I believe in you because I know you. I mean, I don't know you to sit across the table and have a cup of coffee with you, but I do know you.
Yeah, but I'd know your voice across a parking lot, Bob.
And I've heard yours across the world, my boy. I've heard it, and I love it, and I believe in you. Keep it up. Just don't stop and keep pounding on them. Hey, it's only a couple days away.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's a long damn time to hold your breath.
We've been holding it for a long time.
I'm getting a little blue.
Yeah, well, hey, but I believe in you, and I believe that the Spirit is with you. And it's not just the Spirit of our fathers and our fathers' fathers, but it's that Spirit that brought this nation into being. It's not that one that made those men less than a man or three-fifths of a man, but it's the first time that we can say that we have African Americans maybe at that point you can look at your neighbor. Your neighbor can look at you and say, yes, we are brothers. That black man and that white man, they are the same. And I would appreciate seeing it before they throw about, what is that, 6 feet of dirt in my face. I would appreciate it, people, if you would stop and just realize it's not prejudice. I have none. I love this young man. I love him because he speaks the truth, not because he's black or white, but because he speaks truth. It comes from him as it came from your Lord and Savior, if you are a Christian, and it comes from you if you believe in that other little brown man. What was his name? Not Buddha, but yeah, maybe it was Buddha.
Gandhi?
Huh? Gandhi? Oh, Gandhi. Yeah, he was a little brown man too, wasn't he? But he spoke the truth. And that other one, what was his name? They sing songs about him down there in South Africa. Huh? What was his name?
I think you lost me.
Ah. They imprisoned him for...
No, Mandela, sure.
Mandela. Yeah, he was of that spirit too, was he not? Courage, and all it takes is one spark, Bob, to light the candle that will make this a beautiful earth again. And I believe that if we light this candle, this Obama candle, it might just be the rocket ship of Earth to give us a little bit of peace, love between all of us, all nations, all of this Earth, to let go of the hate, the deceit, the contempt, the hatred, and just let it go. Vote Obama. Let it go. Become something better than yourself. Vote for a young man.
What? Okay. Is that there's Gandhi. You must be the change you wish to see.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Bob, got to roll along, brother. Don't be such a stranger, all right?
Well, I'm not long for this world, much longer, okay? But I am here just for the moment to say I love you, your family. I love all of this. I really do, because it's showing us something we haven't seen in ourselves before. And maybe just in a few days we will see a bit of change, and maybe I'll get to see a little bit before I'm gone, okay? Thank you.
You hang in and you fight, Bob.
Oh, hey, I've been doing that too damn long.
Yeah, but we got... Shoot, got to get you... No, there's no... Check out time is not until at least January 21st. You understand that, right?
Oh, I will be there to see the inaugural... I don't know, maybe I'll just turn it on too. But I will see that beautiful family, and we will see a blossoming of a new generation, Bob. One that lets go of your father's generation and my generation, okay? And embraces a new one. One with a superb understanding that you're black or white, you're human. There's only one thing that matters, and that's you, Bob, and your radio show, and this nation, and the people that you represent. And you know what? I learned you're a bunch of damn liberals. You're born with a left feet, and you walk left, and you turn to the left, and you take care of your brother, your sister.
You know, my clock even goes counterclockwise. I mean,
I love you, sir.
You take, Bob. You take care. We love you dearly, and our best to your family.
Hey, we're still. Hey, they're gonna do okay. They're going to grow up and see a new era
Well, there is that element of justice, and it would be cause for great celebration. Bob, we will talk to you soon.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our old buddy Bob from up on the high plains of North Dakota. Keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how are we doing?
Hey, Brother Albert, what's happening?
Hey, I'll tell you what. First Father Bob over there, he's going to have to see a change before he can go on to the road of awe. I'll tell you what, that's exactly the kind of thinking that I kind of have in a hopeful vein. Because we really can't let these freaks get us too much.
No,
down.
But there ain't no coasting, Albert. You can't coast uphill.
Oh, exactly. Oh, no doubt about that. We're not letting off the accelerator because I think just to reiterate what Bob was talking about, you know, it's like electing Barack Obama is going to give us an 11 on the volume dial. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we'll still be at 10, but then we'll go to 11. And, of course, 11 is louder than 10. So we'll be good, you know. And I just.
But, God, isn't the other side losing it? I mean, they are coming unglued.
I just watched this horrible, disgusting another. I mean, it's really all the Obama people need to do is take a video camera and an Obama sign and go to one of these McCain barbecues. They're getting so small, but go to one of these
coffee clutch.
I mean, you know, sit there and go to one of these things and just sit there and stand there and say, "Oh, why vote for him? Because he's not a communist alien. He's an alien. I know he is. He anally probed me. I mean, these people have lost their mind."
Oh God, when you got Victoria Jackson out there.
Hey, he reminds me of the Antichrist.
Forget her. Who? She's one of the reasons Saturday Night Live sucks. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, yeah, Toons is the cat, please.
She made me think. Well, she made me think women weren't funny.
Wow. She made you forget Gilda Radner. That's tough.
Oh yeah. Who? Yeah. Yeah. Her and whatever. Yeah. No.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a guy who is wounded in the head and carries a mark upon his face and yada, yada, yada. You know, George Bush with the terrorist pretzel incident. That doesn't remind her of the Antichrist from the Revelations chapter 13 or wherever the heck.
Well, of course not.
But Obama,
then I'm afraid ignorant people will put him in office.
Yeah, we're ignorant. Okay.
Yeah, I'm the stupid one.
I'm the stupid one. We're stupids. I mean, we don't know anything. I mean,
dumber than a post. Dumber than a post.
Yeah. Yeah. What are we doing? I mean, these people have lost their mind. What was that one guy he's talking about? I'm an oil worker on a far west Colorado oil field, and I went to college and failed 5 classes, and I don't know why I should have to pay for anybody else to go and try.
God. take my word for it. Calculus is hard, and you don't want the heartbreak of failing. And I don't want to get going on the economics. Can't make
exactly.
You can't make a professor happy in an economics class.
Yeah, I know.
Dismalest bunch of people I ever did see. Best off not even fooling with it.
Ridiculous. Just ridiculous. I mean, and the rest of them, and you see them, and they, you know.
And they're godless. They're godless, Albert. Did you know they're godless?
Well, I know that, but, you know, that's their weapon, bud. It's fear, man. And, like, we can't be afraid of them. You know, we really can't.
Our main weapons are fear?
It is. Fear is their primary weapon. And, I mean, that's why they get so freaking jumped. Bent out of shape. I mean, the world has to get pretty rough for us to be like, wow. Like, I mean, what do left wingers come out against, right? What do they really come out and force against? I don't know, war, equal rights. I mean,
destroying people's homes.
Exactly.
Depopulating entire regions.
Yeah, World Trade Organizations that just basically work to rape the third world for the benefit of a very few in the first world, which at the same time, you know, the raping over the third world isn't enough, so they come and do it here. And
but that's okay, because John McCain's robo-sleaze calls are being made by a company that prides itself on being the world leader in outsourcing.
Isn't that a wonderful hypocrisy? And, you know, it's, well, and Sarah Palin makes women pay for their own rape kits, so it's a symphony. It's a symphony of filth, Rob. I mean, come on. I mean, these guys have completely and utterly lost it. And every morning I get up, and I really can't watch too much of it because I just can't. But, you know, I'll sit there and I'll get up and I'll watch a little bit of this. Another crazy thing. I couldn't happen to find that Todd Palin, you know.
No, I didn't find it. Okay, I'll find a link and yeah, because yeah, well, I think Agnes has it bookmarked.
Excellent, because it's gonna, you know, because maybe it hasn't just been seen yet, or maybe, you know, who knows? We'll have to check that out. But you know, I mean,
Daddy's feeling a little threatened, Bristol.
Well,
no wonder he drives that big snow machine. Compensating.
What the hell? Wait, who is this Joe Wurzenbacher now? Now he's on the campaign working for these guys?
Oh, dude, he's going to have a record contract. I'm not kidding. They're expecting they're expecting a country music album out by Christmas.
What?
I love it when I do that to you. Huh? It's hard, you know. It's hard for me to pull one out of the hat that you're not up on. Oh yeah.
You know.
Lid just came off of one, didn't it?
Wait, now I think he's going to be able to afford that. He's not going to be out. You know, he might get into striking distance of being worried about getting that, you know, extra $12 tax per year or whatever the hell it is. Maybe he can pay his tax bill off now. Oh, gee. Let's just bet that he's going to be one of the tragic figures of country music. You bet and watch. What?
What the?
Wait. Well, so all I got to do is go ask this guy a question and look like a bald. You know, no offense to everybody, but, you know, one of those guys, those tough guys. Jeff Gannon. I got to look like Jeff Gannon, and then, you know, I get a record.
No, you don't want. No, you don't want to look like Jeff Gannon, dude. You're not up. You are definitely not up for the photo shoot. Hot military studs for you? No.
No, everybody forgets that. You know, I mean, hey, Jeff Gannon's the smile on Haggard's face. So what are you going to do? But. I mean, we'd sit here and look at this disgusting scum. I mean, you're right. You could probably make a lot of money being one of their little sleazy little...
Look, Joe Wurzel, Burger, Backer, Booger, Bigger... That guy gets a record deal. I want a record deal. Because I can't sing. I can't sing worse than he can't sing. And apparently that is now the standard. Anybody who's ever listened to me try to croak out a note on this program knows that I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And apparently that's the qualification now.
Yeah, you and me both. You and I will put out a duet.
You know what? You know what? I'll break a little something here. Albert, I wrote a parody lyric the other day, a week ago or so. Mm-hmm. And I sent it off to John Fox. And we've been going back and forth on producing this little nightmare. And ELO, den mother to the chat room, has seen it. And, you know, I got the... Okay, here's the giveaway. It's based on Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Okay.
With me so far?
Okay, I'm with you.
Well, that thing has an atrocious... You know, and I turn all the singing duties over to John. Mm-hmm. Because John's sitting there playing at the same time, and he can make it work.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We may have to do a Beatles White Album thing on this. You know, where everybody records separately. And, you know what? I may actually do the vocal for this. And send it off and see how long it takes before John Fox writes me back a really, really hateful email going, "Don't you ever do this to me again. This is like hell listening to this."
Oh, buddy, I'll tell you what, man. I really, you know, I know guys like Joe. Guys like Joe are a dime a dozen out here, and I mean, I'll just tell you what. I think that might be an album I buy.
Well, you want to know what the opening lines are?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find this real quick. I don't know. This will be horrifying. Everybody, now this isn't one of those where you have to take little Timmy and little Cindy out of the room because, you know, Bob's going to use some of the fun words. This is the one where you take them out of the room because Bob might burst their eardrums or make them hate music for the rest of their lives.
You always do this to me.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, it's, and why not? Well, just do a couple of verses. See what you think.
I can take it.
La, 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 la. Sarah just went out and shot a reindeer, even though it wasn't Christmas Eve. Folks also say she's dusted Santa, and all the elves are next, I do believe. She was reading secession propaganda about how America is an awful place. Then she grabbed up her ammunition. You should have seen the look on Rudolph's face. Is that just awful or what?
No, I like that. That's good. You do better than you think you do. That's how it usually is. You got to undercut yourself. Plus the lyrics are fantastic. It's catchy.
It goes on for like 8 more verses.
Bring it on.
No, I can't do it live. But, okay, it's done. Maybe you know what? I'm setting a schedule for John, and he'll probably private message me in the chat room. What are you doing? Maybe we can work this up and premiere it on the election night special.
Yeah, and you should put all this together and make a little Christmas album with some, you know, interesting information that's purely vital for the coming years ahead, and everybody can, you know, like an NPR type thing, and you know, yeah, send in so much money and you get the CD and the gift card that'll get you, you know, discount in all West Virginia. What they do out here. But you know, I mean, that's yeah, no, we need all that kind of stuff, and I look forward to hearing all that, because telling you, I mean, I don't know, West Virginia's red again today, so we'll have to see what happens in the future, but Bob, it's looking good, buddy, and you know,
Well, can you make me feel better about those 9, 12, 11, 10% undecideds in the Confederacy? Help me, please?
Well, first off, if they're undecided by, I'm going to give you a couple things. I think if somebody's undecided by now, then they're probably not even going to wind up voting.
That's the only hope I had.
And if they are trying to say they're undecided, they're more likely the people that we're seeing at the Palin-McCain rallies, you know, where they think he's a socialist, a Marxist, and a fascist, and a everything-ist, because, you know, if you just ist anything, then it, you know, makes it bad, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how it works? I mean, that's how I feel like it works for them, you know, anything you put an ist to, oh, socialist and fascist, and it's like, oh, socialist and fascist, oh, okay. You know, I mean, these people are just mad. So I think on a big, on the big picture here, a lot of these 6%ers or whatever are, they're probably very much what you, you know, they don't want to sound racist, or they don't want to, you know, sit there and, I mean, because come on.
I see this, I do get this right-wing mail, and I'm glad I get it. I really am. The little jerk-offs way back in the terrestrial radio days who signed me up for this crap, I'm glad they did. And because it gives me a window into that place where the right-wing's soul ought to be. And I saw one today coming from one of the right-wing pitchmen. Barack Obama needs to worry about the Brady effect. You know, playing on Bradley effect and all.
He needs to worry about all us loyal Americans out here worshiping our penis extension rifles, and we're gonna go vote for John McLumpy Hoover because we know he'll take away our guns because he's a Brady lover. He loves that man. He loves that man, that Reagan-aide, what that assassin turned into a vegetable. He loves him and don't want that to happen no more, and we're gonna get him.
Ew. You know, I hate going into that place where I do those little characters because,
it's kind of one of those things that makes you really admire actors that take really horrible roles. Like, you know, if they have to be a child predator or something really just make your veins hurt, kind of filthy, you know. And
now we got other people in the chat room getting in on it, Albert. There's Nick from down at Coal River. 10-4, good buddy. Country first.
Yeah, I can do it too, but I know how that makes you filthy. You know what though?
Come on back, Rubber Ducky, and vote for Sarah Palin.
It's just not happening. I mean,
see, that's the fun thing. We could probably disenfranchise if we were up for it. But, you know, we don't have to put out a phony flyer saying, you know, Republicans vote on November 5th, Albert. We just put out a little flyer that says, and remember, the big race is on Election Day that'll determine who wins in the NASCAR Nextel points standings. Boom. Nobody leave. None of them leave home. I am down the elitist red lane right now, and I'm going to catch hell for this.
Hey, you know, that's my neighborhood. I'm sorry. I mean, I've been to them. It's not.
No, see, well, that's like our buddy Clyde out of WD40.com. He is a racing kind of guy, and I wouldn't offend Clyde for nothing.
But must be tough.
You know, I mean,
that's got to be like a liberal living in West Virginia.
Yeah, kind of. Well, I mean, he's a liberal living in, like, the margins between Missouri and Kansas.
Oh, boy.
He's got it rougher. That, you know, him and Wally and Dookie, and they got it a lot worse than me.
No, they're way deeper.
No, only nice thing is they're within, you know, the foam form on the top of the mug distance of a couple of nice microbreweries.
Yeah, that does help. It certainly does.
Goes a long way.
Yeah, you know, you should get one of those little kits and start it yourself.
Oh, we got a thing going in the chat room now. News Ninja Gene started off telling me if I'm going to record that thing, I need to get good and liquored up first. Oh, dear God. Now everybody's using the beer emoticons. Everybody drinking beer in the chat room now.
Well, we should have a party on the 4th. I mean, it's just, it's got to happen. I mean, I'm getting a 30-pack. I don't care.
You going to get that Milwaukee's Beast suitcase?
Yeah. No, PBR. It's Union. But
yeah, okay. Wait, Milwaukee's Beast is Union too. That's but it's Miller's.
No, they just got bought by Coors.
Yeah, but
didn't they?
No. Miller was bought by South Africa. Coors was bought by Molson. Budweiser was bought by the Belgians.
Oh, I can't even keep up anymore. These places are unbelievable. I don't even know what to drink. Maybe I'll just. I'll get a 24-pack of my buddy's stuff or something.
That's a good idea. And by the way, those are both wonderful. Just yummy.
You like that? All right. Well, we got more. Don't worry about it.
I can't decide whether I like the lager or the brown or the brown ale better.
Yeah, well, the downtown brown is just kind of one of those. It's like one of those staples. It's like, I think it was like their first big hit, and they got a bunch of awards for that. But the lager, I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah, there's a tang to that lager. It's almost Belgian in its quality.
Yeah, he's a normal. Hey, it's like my buddy Choi talks about. He says he's like, well, if you're gonna drink beer, you better trust an alcoholic to make it. And the guy likes to drink a little bit. And he, I tell you what, they farm their own stuff.
No, really, they raise their own barley and hops and so forth.
Yeah, it's, I mean, he does get some stuff from certain areas for certain brews, but for the most part, I mean, this, he's got, you know, little patches on farms around here that, you know, supply him with different ingredients.
Two-row, four-row, six-row barley, and you know, all that stuff that I can get really geeky about.
Yeah, it's, yeah, and, you know, I talk to him a lot about that kind of stuff, and, you know, I'm probably, hopefully I can get to go to that winter ball. That would be a beautiful thing. And, you know, I was like looking at pictures of West Virginia, and quite honestly, you look just like this region, the Driftless region with the big old, what do you call it, like their bluffs, you know, being cut into the mountains and stuff. And you guys got all your color in the leaves, right?
Yeah, well, it's fading pretty fast after the little cold snap that hit in the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's getting brutal. I'm already in my car.
Well, see, we didn't see it so much down here because I'm about another 600 feet down in altitude. It gets higher from where I am. But I've seen cars going down the road, with, you know, with that 2-inch that 2-inch stack of snow up on the roof.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that was, you know, let the wind take that off down the road. You know, you clear the hood and the windshield so it doesn't blow up in your face and let the, yeah. But I've seen that.
Northern Idaho. I know how that is.
And our buddy Spike from over in Eastern PA, he's up around Toby Hanna. He sent me a blog post today that with video footage of what they got. Holy cats, like 14 inches.
Yeah, this winter is going to be brutal. We just got our first sunspot, and even the Farmer's Almanac's talking brutality. So, and I don't know what spirits and chickens they sacrifice to get that information, but I got to say, I feel it in my bones. And
well, I always go by that old farmer's wives' tale, whatever thing, where you count the fogs in August. Now, I don't know if y'all do that out there. I don't know if anybody else does it anywhere. And but you count the fogs in August, and the number of dense fogs that you have in August will determine the number of hard snows you have in the winter. And we had a bunch. I mean, I was up around 12, 13 when I stopped counting.
Yeah, oh, well, that's, yeah, I'll tell you what, we get a bunch of snow out here, but it's to us, it's more so the tire-splitting cold. I mean, we get -40.
Oh, yeah, you get that, yeah, you get that thing where you don't go out with exposed skin.
No.
And, so, you know, someday, you got it. I played the audio from that ad, Albert. You got to see that just minute of that second of footage of a naked Pat Boone standing in his swimming pool with the flat, you know, the fur ear flap, you know, hat with his with his fishing rod, and we love ice fishing. Casting into
I
his.
Can. Yeah, no, I can visualize.
If you work your way down a little bit, it's over at Crooks and Liars, I think.
No. It only takes so much.
Huh? I know that, yeah, there's a threshold. There's only so far you can go, so much you can take. But God, that just drove me bad. Because you know what? I would love to go up that. You know, it's that whole thing I was saying the other night. You know, where would I go? What would I do? You know, how would I travel? What would we see of this world? You know, that's a conversation you and I were having.
Yep.
I would love to go ice fishing. And you know, up there, upstate New York and into Canada and stuff, where they have those ice boats that do like 100 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like long, instead of the pontoons have long ice skate blades on the bottom of them and sails and stuff. And
a sail. Yeah, those are awesome. Yeah, those are awesome.
Look at the life. You know, most of the time when I think about going somewhere, inexorably I think about, you know, having my toes in the sand with a toxic hot sun just burning my pink hide and some little coconut shell thing with an umbrella in the top and, you know, some Jimmy Buffett playing in the background.
Yeah, and the haze from the night before.
Yeah, when I was a kid growing up in Alabama, and for most of my young adult life, I loved winter.
Yeah.
And to go up and really experience it under controlled circumstances. I mean, I was a college kid once upon a time, really. And I remember we rented snowshoes and what's its cross-country skis and backpacks and tents and everything. Went camping up on a place here in West Virginia called Dolly Sods. Look it up and click images or whatever. You'll see, oh, God, it was cold. But, man, we had fun. Oh, we had fun. And, it, I mean, you know, this was like January, February. And, I mean, it was freezing because it's high altitude up there. And, I mean, the wind was howling. There's something to be said for that. Because some of our oldest cultures have existed in cold climes. And there's a reason that the Swedes and the Norwegians are some of the most civil people on earth. You have to get along in cold weather.
You do, but you can also hibernate, and you can, and that's kind of where I live in a Norwegian town. I mean, it literally says "Velkommen" on the sign when you enter.
Yeah, sure, you betcha.
You betcha, and and I do live. I live in the rural area, so you do see quite a few Palin and McCain and that kind of crap. But I'll tell you what, you're seeing a lot less of it. I mean, I think as of right now, Wisconsin is solidly.
Guys aren't even listed as battleground anymore.
We used to be, and I had to throw a temper tantrum and call NPR a couple times and scream at people, but you got to talk some sense into some of these fools sometimes, and I walk around and I got a Veterans for Obama button on, and I'll tell you what, not for nothing, that's a great just throat slitter right there. because it is. I mean,
how could you?
Well, no, they can't go against that. They literally, and I wear, and I, because, one of my jackets that I wear constantly is, I love my Navy utility jacket. It's one of my favorite jackets ever because it's dense enough that it can actually protect you down to like negative 10, negative 20. I mean, honestly. And it's also, it's blue, it matches everything, and it's just lightweight. It's not a real thick, heavy thing, but it keeps me warm, and it's a nice little thing, but it's no doubt it's my Navy thing. So I wear that button on that, and there's nothing they can say. What are they going to say? I've done my time. I've served.
Yeah.
Right? So I already, you can't sit there.
Kind of earned the right now, didn't you?
And if not for nothing, I mean, that's all it's, that's the best thing it is for me. And I could still sit there and make these people, just change it like, it fractures their mind. I mean, the right-wing mind is a fragile thing. And it's encased in, layers of glistening, sticky fear, like a nice, beautiful glazed donut that dissolves in your mouth when you bite into it. And that's just one of the best pleasures of life. But anyway, it is. But seriously, that's what their, that's their mind. That's what their minds are like. I mean, I've had a lot of people that, come and sit down and talk to me, and I would imagine are pretty far right. And by the time we leave that, I'm not always, so acidic and aggressive. I kind of use that to get it out, with you. But,
that's what this is. This is, there's some therapy aspects to this program.
Exactly. Well, and if I don't like you, then I'm really going to be, but that's just me. But no, but there is therapy to this, and that's what one of my favorite things about it is. But sometimes you know what buttons to push on certain people, and wearing a jacket like that. I mean, I got some police living next to me now, which is good because I'm sick and tired of people fighting at 4 o'clock in the morning, bringing cops to my house. Now I have the cops living next door, so I don't feel safe. I just feel like good. I won't have any problems at night now. Hopefully. But, so anyhow, we sit there and I guess our dad or whatever is fixing up the house, and he's an old cop, they got the look.
Yeah.
If he's not a cop, he's a boilerman or something like that. He's got a look like that. But he looks more like a cop. And so I had my jacket on. I went over there and I talked to him. I'll tell you what, these people have been super, super, super frigid to me. I mean, I know it's Wisconsin. I know they're strangers, but, man, they've been real cold to me. And because, I got signs on the front here, I got an ACLU sign in my door says I protect my rights and this and that, and I got a little bit of a, Obama sign in my yard and stuff like that, and I drive imports, but I don't know if that.
You mentioned the ACLU, and I protect my rights and everything. That reminds me of something, Albert. Do you know what the state motto of the state of Alabama is?
No, enlighten me.
We dare defend our rights.
Yeah, but no,
not so much when you're gonna go for McCain and Palin, and they want to, because you know that's the thing these fundies don't understand. That Palin creep. There's only one way to believe stuff. I mean, you know, she's right out of the Jefferson Starship catalog. You know, if only you believe like I believe, baby, we'll get by. And
I think what. I'm sorry.
There's all those rights, and yet Alabama was transformed into this place where, well, you know, how did an old Confederate state get turned into a place where, well, you know, God and country? Huh?
How did Loretta Niles survive down there?
Oh, I know. I haven't heard from Loretta in a while. I worry about her. You know, the gardens, I don't know. Maybe she's still getting garden. I don't know, but standing there raising hell and not going to move a damn inch. And you know, if I'm going to move, you're going to move me. And so, you know, she's one of those people that takes the Alabama state motto seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of, well, we dare defend our rights, and the only right we got is the right to go to church. And get told what to do.
Yeah, they can't be serious when they talk like that. I mean, but I know, what was that little... You played a little clip a couple breaks ago. I didn't catch the guy's name. I just listened to some points and I was doing some other things. But the something report.
Seton Notes. Seton Notes. That's Tony Seton, our buddy from the old Quality News Network days.
Oh yeah, that was right on right there. I mean,
I haven't run across anybody who quotes Fritjof Capra in a long time.
Yeah, well, me neither. Well, we don't have to. That was good stuff. And, you know, every day we get a little bit closer. And, I mean, I know people can, you know, I just want people to, just like what Bob was just saying, I got to get running here. But just kind of like what Bob was talking about with, you know, vote for the man because he's the man, you know, not for the, you know, any other reason. I was actually going to have one of my daughters, you know, I pull these little tricks. You know, I got little tricks for people that I show them. Oh, look at my kid. Oh, your kid does that. And it's like, yeah. But what I was going to do is they're upstairs now. I don't want to start yelling for them. But when I'm watching like Barack Obama give speeches, my little daughter, Adrielle, she has a habit of coming in because I did take them to see her.
Oh, what a gorgeous name.
Adrielle? Like that thing. Hearing her say it is kind of funny. But Adrielle... sits there and she'll come in and she'll say, oh, that's the best man in the whole wide world. She just says that. Just says it. And, like, she doesn't know what he's really saying and she's not really paying attention. Daddy's paying attention to what he's saying.
Yeah, Daddy, but she gets the kids read.
That's exactly what I was saying. That's the important thing. I mean, you know, I'm sure everybody's seen that, you know, Barack and the babies, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the kid looks at Barack Obama and says, you know, that's the best man in the world. You know, that's the quarterback looking up and seeing cover two. Yeah, just get the read and, you know, trust it and go with it.
Exactly. And, you know, well, I think that's the beauty of babies, and I think that's the beauty, I mean, you know, of what we've actually been talking about in terms of, you know, one of the best things I heard Bob talk about was how it's not going to be just a step. It's going to be like a rocket to our future, you know, and, you know, whatever, it's a prayer meeting. So I believe that. I mean, I have to believe that. I cannot believe that my kids at their age are going to stand here. I mean, I can believe that, which is why I want to believe this, you know what I mean, that they're going to be standing like I am in a world like I am, that's sitting here, that's unfulfilled, that hasn't met its, you know, its responsibilities, and has enabled the very few at the expense of everyone, including those few. You know, the world that, you know, your children and my children grow up in should be unrecognizable to us, but a long-distant dream. I mean, in technology, I think, can do that to us. You know what I mean? I think technologies can be one of those things that can literally transform this world overnight, and it will not be the world that you and I recognize, and that's fine. You know, that you and I, you know, like we talk, you win the lotto, or I win the lotto. One of my little fantasies is to If I win the lotto, what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy a sailboat. I'm going to learn how to do it, and I'm going to take my whole family. I'm going to go sail from port to port to port, and, you know, and then my kids, they can shoot 50 caliber rifles and machine guns, because when the pirates come to get us in the Straits of China. On the
yeah, but don't get them shooting those things before they're eight. That story made me sick the other night.
No, exactly. Now, what was that? That's ridiculous. That's just, well, you know, I'm not going to try to say what that guy was moving.
You know, Mommy and Daddy take little Junior to the gun show, and they've got a machine gun range, you know, with fully autos, and it's legal and everything, you know, and you pay $5 and shoot a clip or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, they advertise, you know, you can shoot pumpkins and watermelons and cars and cutouts of Barack Obama and all kinds of fun stuff. Because you know how it is at these gun shows.
Yeah.
And so they pay the money for little 8-year-old Junior to shoot the Uzi. You know, if you're at a gun show, does the word recoil mean anything to you?
I'm laughing. It's sad.
It's damn tragic because he fired round one of a fully auto machine gun. The recoil brought the bullet up, brought the muzzle up, and he blew his own head off.
I wouldn't let my children ever. No, hang on. I'll come with you, honey. Relax. Who's that? You know who that is? No. Okay.
Yeah. Not ready for on demand.
No, that's children. I think that's why you don't want to test them too much, you know?
No, because they will test you back. Well, Albert, good talking to you this evening, brother.
Oh, absolutely, brother. I'll talk with you later.
All right, take care. You too. Right. Bye-bye. Yeah. Yeah, that story just made me sick. Come on. 8-year-old? You run a gun show? And you later, you know, never mind the people. Okay, some ignorant people who don't handle firearms might, and they think, oh, let's let legitimate shoot a machine gun. You're running the gun show. Recoil. This is what you call gross, willful, wanton negligence with utter disregard for the safety and well-being of others. Jamie. Take a little break. We'll come back. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. Hey, this is for you, Albert. You too, Bob. And all of us. And our hopes for you, Barack Obama.
You got streamlined world. There'll be spandex jackets, one for everyone.
What a beautiful world this will be. What a glorious time to be free. What a beautiful world this will be. What a glorious time to be free. Woo.
They're playing this at any Obama rallies? If they're not, why aren't they? I mean, I realized the lyric was written somewhat tongue-in-cheek when Donald Fagan penned it. But it's spot on, isn't it? Powered by the sun. John Fox, I think we may have to add this to the Inauguration Day list if we get it. If Obama makes it. What a beautiful world this will be. What a glorious time to be free. And that opening line, oh my God, that opening line. There's a reason this is one of my favorite albums of all time. That opening line. Standing tough under stars and stripes, we can tell this dream's in sight. See, I'm trying to beat back the evil demons of pessimism, trying to see my glass half full. And maybe by this time Tuesday evening, somebody will be filling that glass up way past half. Maybe we'll begin to know. Maybe. So, okay, just a couple of things, to sort of hit, as we roll along, just a couple of basic questions. You know, I'm ashamed of myself. This news has been out there for 3 days and I haven't touched it. The Bush thugs are gonna, well, I guess maybe I touched it a little bit, maybe last night. The Bush thugs are gonna go shooting and bombing and blasting all the way to their bitter end. I mean, their time in office is literally measurable in double-digit days now. And they're doing cross-border incursions into countries that are not doing anything to us. Syria. And then they had to bring out the photographs and bring on and prove that we had used helicopter gunships to go across the Syrian frontier to attack people there. And, yeah, there were children involved. There are always children involved, it seems. After Syria made the accusation, Washington finally confirmed that U.S. forces had crossed into Syria and mounted what they called a successful raid against foreign fighters. Syrian Foreign Minister Walid Mualem said from London, "We consider this criminal and terrorist aggression. Killing civilians in international law means a terrorist aggression. Damned right. That's because the men sitting in the White House, that pig-eyed, jug-eared little lout, and his criminal boss with the bionic heart are terrorists. They just are. No getting around it." So here's a stupid and entirely superficial question. Moving on. You ever wonder why it is that you see that ignorant little fundamentalist from Alaska wearing red? You ever wonder why waving red in front of a bull makes the bull crazy? Well, the answer is apparently out. Red does something to the male brain. At least red on a female does. There was a study done by a professor of psychology at the University of Rochester in New York, PhD psychologist by the name of Andrew Elliott. And they took identical photographs of a woman wearing a red top and a woman wearing a blue top. And they queried people looking at the photographs. And they statistically isolated a fact. There were 5 studies of about 150 heterosexual men. And the men rated photographs of women framed in red, white, gray, green, or blue with a woman in a red or a blue shirt. Blouse, top, whatever. And there was a 7-point scale. 1 was, not sexy at all. And 7 was, you know, just blazing hot, smoking sex goddess. Wearing the color red was good for about 1.25 points on the rating. It's no good for making men think that you're smarter or that you're more competent, but it does speak to the animal that remains, and well, no, it's not the animal that remains. We're animals. It's not like we haven't turned into, you know, daisies. And maybe the taxonomic the differences between animal and plant are even wrong, and it's certainly wrong within the cosmologies of a lot of peoples of the planet. But that portion of a lizard brain, there it is. Male heterosexual lizard brains respond to red. And that, look at that photo that keeps going around of Mussolini standing next to Ted Stevens. What's she wearing? She's wearing her little red double-breasted sort of early 18th century waistcoat. And there's been a lot of other occasions where she showed up in red. And I submit to you that if you did a statistical analysis of that, you would find that when she shows up in red, the reason she does so is she's not trying to make anybody think she's competent, not trying to make anybody think that she is more intelligent. She is simply appealing to the lizard brains of the men in the audience. How sad. How very, very sad. Apparently, she's babbling away in Jeffersonville, Indiana right now. But I don't much care. Because there is something that I kind of wanted to get to in the course of the evening tonight. Let's start out with everybody's favorite fascist, Patrick Buchanan. Pat Buchanan. Former Nixon speechwriter, won't go away, won't shuffle off to his long barbecue reward, Pat Buchanan. Obama's First 100 Days is the name of the column, and it is positively apocalyptic. I mean, he's apparently got out his little crack magic eight ball and his the dusty old robe with the moon and stars on it. What does the triumvirate of Obama, Pelosi, Reid offer? Swift amnesty for 12 million to 20 million illegal aliens and a drive to make them citizens and register them as in the Bill Clinton years. We'll forget the times that the Republicans did it. It was the Bill Clinton years. This will mean that Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona will soon move out of reach for GOP presidential candidates, as has California. Be afraid, white people, be afraid! Next thing you know, you'll all be speaking Spanish! Like you did before the Gadsden Purchase or the Mexican War when we stole all that land in the first place, but never mind. Border security will go on the back burner and America will have a virtual open border with a Mexico of 110 million. Not a Mexico, not the Mexico, but a Mexico. Apparently for Patrick Buchanan, there are oodles of Mexicos out there. Taxes will be raised on the top 5% of wage earners who now carry 60% of the U.S. income tax burden, and tens of millions of checks will be sent out to the... You know, does Pat Buchanan understand that progressive income taxation was invented by Teddy Roosevelt, or at least argued for or proposed by Teddy Roosevelt, and he was a... come on, Pat, say it. Republican. Yeah, that's right. You can do it. We knew. Social Security taxes will be raised on the most successful among us, and capital gains taxes will be raised from 15% to 20%. The Bush tax cuts will be repealed and death taxes reimposed. God, I hate that phrase, death tax. How do you tax a dead guy? Well, we're not going to bury your foot. Dumbasses. Two or three more liberal activists of the Ruth Bader Ginsburg, John Paul Stevens stripe will be named to the Supreme Court. U.S. District and Appellate Courts will be stacked with progressives. Yeah, sure. Special protections for homosexuals will be written into all civil rights laws. Well, that's nice because then you're like, your sister can have full civil rights, right, Pat? Oh, well, wait a minute. She's a woman. Doesn't count in the first place. Gays and lesbians in the military will be invited to come out of the closet. Don't ask, don't tell, we'll be dead. The homosexual marriages that the state judges have forced California, Massachusetts, and Connecticut to recognize, and Obama Congress or Obama Court will require all 50 states to recognize. Oh, God, it goes on and on. Affirmative action, here's one. Universal health insurance will be enacted, covering legal and illegal immigrants, providing another powerful magnet for the world to come to America, if necessary, by breaching her borders. Yeah, because it's not like that all those stupid-ass free trade agreements had anything to do with it, but never mind. The first $1 trillion deficit will be run in the first year of an Obama presidency. It will be the first of many. Welcome to Obama land. Well, why will we have to run that deficit, Pat? I mean, just asking. Your boy W made that happen, didn't he? I mean, hell, it would be a multi-trillion dollar deficit. Somebody hasn't shown Pat the tab. He's like the old drunk at the bar who keeps ordering the top shelf liquor at 2 a.m. Nobody showed him the tab yet. But that's not the worst of it. This is what I got all head up about, and I'm not going to have time for it tonight. Letter from 2012 in Obama's America. Yeah, really. This was, of course, produced by the freaks at Focus on the Family who want, you know, men to get in the shower with little boys and wave their thingies at them and, you know, like, and beat children till they cry real tears. You know, October 22nd, 2012. Dear friends, I can hardly sing the Star Spangled Banner anymore. When I hear the words, "Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave," I get tears in my eyes and a lump in my throat. Now, in October of 2012, after seeing what's happened in the last 4 years, I don't think I can still answer yes to that question. We are not the land of the free and the home of the brave. Many of our freedoms have been taken away by a liberal Supreme Court and a Democratic majority in both the House and the Senate, and hardly any brave citizen dares to resist the new government policies anymore. The 2008 election was closer than anybody expected, but Barack Obama still won. Many Christians voted for Obama. Younger evangelicals actually provided him with the needed margin to defeat John McCain, but they didn't think he'd really follow through on the far-left policies that had marked his career. They was wrong. On January 20th, 2009, President Obama's inauguration went smoothly, and he spoke eloquently of reaching out to Republicans who would work with him, even in the next month when Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and John Paul Stevens announced that they'd step down from the Supreme Court. Nobody's very surprised. Ginsburg's already 75 years old and in ill health, and Stevens is 88. President Obama nominated two far-left American Civil Liberties Union-oriented judges, and the Democratic Senate confirmed them quickly. They're brilliant, articulate, and in their early 40s, so they can expect to stay on the court for 30 or 40 years. But things seemed the same because the court retained its 4-4 split between liberals and conservatives with Justice Anthony Kennedy in the swing vote. The decisive changes on the Supreme Court started in June when Justice Kennedy resigned. He was 72 and had grown weary of the unrelenting responsibility. His replacement, another young liberal Obama appointment, gave a 5-4 majority to justices who were eager to create laws from the bench. The four conservative justices who remained, John Roberts, Antonin Scalia, Clarence Thomas, and Samuel Alito, were suddenly in the minority. Then, in August 2009, 2 months after Kennedy resigned, Justice Scalia unexpectedly announced his resignation due to health reasons, and by October 2009, another Obama appointment took his oath and joined the court. See, I think it's much more likely that in that scenario, it's Justice Scalia unexpectedly announced his resignation after being caught with a wide stance in the Supreme Court restroom, but never mind. Or was caught flogging himself and passed out and bled to death or something like that because he's, you know, one of those weirdos that hits themselves with barbed wire. Finally, the far left had the highest prize, complete control of the Supreme Court. And they set about quickly to expedite cases by which they would enact the entire agenda of the far left in American politics. Everything they had hoped for and more took just a few key decisions. The most far-reaching transformation of American society came from the Supreme Court's stunning affirmation in early 2010 that homosexual marriage was a constitutional right that had to be respected by all 50 states because of laws bearing same-sex marriage violated the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Well, hey, thanks for the heads up. That's the way we'll go, guys. Appreciate it. Suddenly, homosexual marriage was the law of the land in all 50 states, and no state legislature, no Supreme Court, no state constitutional amendment, not even Congress itself had any power to change it. The Supreme Court had ruled and the discussion was over. This was a blatant example of creating law by the court, for homosexual marriage was mentioned nowhere in the Constitution. Well, neither is marriage at all, but never mind. Nor would any of the forces have imagined that same-sex marriage could be derived from their words. But it just followed, it just followed the precedents that had been set by state Supreme Courts in Massachusetts and California and Connecticut. President Obama repeated his declaration that he personally was against same-sex marriage, but he told the nation there's nothing he could do. The Supreme Court had ruled, and it was now the law of the land. The president asked the nation to support the decision. So apparently, and this thing goes on for 16 miserable pages. I kid you not. 16 pages. After that decision, many other policies changed, and several previous Supreme Court cases were reversed rather quickly, raising the question, is America still the land of the free? Number one, Boy Scouts. Land of the Free, Boy Scouts no longer exist in 2012 as an organization. They chose to disband rather than be forced to obey the Supreme Court decision that they would have to hire homosexual scoutmasters and allow them to sleep in tents with young boys. Conservatives in America wanted them to sleep out under the stars in the same sleeping bag. Oh, sorry, no. This was to be expected with a change in the court. So apparently the greatest threat facing America, according to Focus on the Family, isn't the collapsing economy. It isn't the war that's drained us, not draining, but drained our treasury completely dry and impoverished our entire nation. Nope. Homosexual marriage. Elementary schools, number two. The land of the free. Elementary schools now include compulsory training in varieties of gender identity in grade one. First grade, including the goodness of homosexuality as one personal choice. You know, it's right up there. It's right there. You know, milk is good for you, and so is homosexuality, and eat your green beans. It's all right there. But the court, many parents have tried to opt out their children from such sessions, but the courts have ruled they cannot do this, noting that education experts in the government have decided that such training is essential to children's psychological health. Many Christian teachers objected to teaching first graders that homosexual behavior was morally neutral and equal to heterosexuality. They said it violated their consciences to have to teach something the Bible viewed as morally wrong, even though they couldn't find a word that Jesus ever said about homosexuality. But never mind that. State after state ruled that their refusal to teach positively about homosexuality was the equivalent of hate speech, and they had to teach it or be fired. Tens of thousands of Christian teachers either quit or were fired, and there's hardly any evangelical teachers in public schools anymore, and now them children don't think that Adam and Eve rode to church on a dinosaur. Non-Christians found this hard to understand. Why not just teach what the school says, even if it's not your personal opinion, they ask. So what? We can't have every teacher deciding what he or she wants to teach, can we? But the Christian teachers kept coming back to something Jesus said. Whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. And we're working on that millstone. As quick as we catch up with that Obama, we got one for him. Matthew 18:6. And they quit by the thousands, no matter the personal cost, rather than commit what they believe to be a direct sin against God. Many private Christian schools decided to shut down after the Supreme Court ruled that anti-discrimination laws that include sexual orientation extended to private institutions such as schools, and that private schools also had to obey the law and teach that homosexuality and heterosexuality is both morally good choices, right up there with milk and green beans. We're only on page four. But let's see. Number one, gay marriage. Number two, Boy Scouts. Number three, children not having their heads pumped up with hate. Number four, business with government contract. Land of the free, all businesses that have government contracts in national, state, or local, they have to provide documentation of equal benefits for same-sex. We're still on the gay marriage! Public broadcasting? Nope. Can't criticize homosexual behavior on the radio. Lesbian doctors and lawyers? Social workers and council workers for the lesbians and the homosexuals? Homosexual weddings? Church buildings are now considered a public accommodation by the Supreme Court, and churches have no freedom to refuse to allow their buildings to be used for wedding ceremonies for homosexual couples. If they refuse, they lose their tax-exempt status, and they're increasingly becoming subject to fines and anti-discrimination lawsuits. Homosexual staff members, homosexuals in the military, religious speech in the public square. You can't say you hate the fags no more in the high schools. You get thrown out. Supreme Court done said it. Church use of school property. The churches can't use no public school property to make sure that they inculcate little children with impressionable minds to hate people who are different from them. No. Campus ministries, no, they're out the window too. Pledge of allegiance. Now you have to say, I pledge allegiance to the homosexuals. No. The land of the free, public school teachers are no longer free to lead students in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States. Ninth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals heard a new challenge to the phrase under God in the pledge, and as it had in 2002 in Newdale versus United States Congress, Elk Grove Unified School District, it held the wording to be unconstitutional. Now the Supreme Court has upheld that decision. Abortion. Well, there had to be more than one problem in America, and it's homosexuals and abortion. And pornography. Pornography. In 2011, the court essentially found that any pornographic work had some measure of serious artistic value. So now, television programs at all hours of the day contain explicit portrayals of sexual acts. pornographic magazines are openly displayed in gas stations and grocery stores and on newsstands, like they have been in some of them European countries for several years. Gun ownership, can't have no guns. Liberals done took our guns away. It can't have no homeschooling. Can't have people being taught that the Mexicans attacked Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, September 11th, 2001, and you can't do that no homeschooling no more. And everybody's immigrating to Australia and New Zealand where homeschooling is still quite prevalent. And President Obama says he's strongly disapproval of the decision and that the Supreme Court's gone far beyond whatever he expected. But he says that he swore to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And the Supreme Court had ruled and he had no choice but to uphold the law. And then we lost our wars with Russia, and Russia took over Estonia and Latvia and Lithuania and all them little bitty countries, and they rolled over the Czechers Republic and the Bulgar Wheat Republic, and no military U.S. response from the U.S. or UN, NATO, nothing. He just sat there and said, let them go. Latin America, we's all friends with Bolivia and Cuba and Venezuela now. Yeah, that's Israel. Israel done got nuked. In mid-2010, Iran launched a nuclear bomb that exploded in the middle of Tel Aviv and destroyed much of that city. Must have been a tiny little nuclear device, hadn't it, just to have destroyed much of Tel Aviv? Because, hell, I mean, there ain't much of Tel Aviv to destroy. I mean, it's a good-sized city and everything, but one nuclear device, sure. And the Iranians got the device by mid-2010 without even being able to build one in 2008. Dang! Must have been a miracle atomic weapon. Healthcare? Oh, you can't get no surgery now because the waiting list for ovarian cancer is 2 years. And just as the Canadian experience showed prior to 2008, there's only a few MRIs that are performed now, down 90% from 2008 because they're so expensive. And older Americans ain't getting the care they need. And euthanasia, well, I'll be damned. Euthanasia is becoming more and more common because the less older people we got, the more euthanasia they got. And it just goes on and on, and you can't get your prostate fixed. No, you can't. Welcome to the weirdo right wing. Merciful God. Well, that's the program tonight. Listen, it's almost the end of October. I got to tell you, we need some serious help. Contribution-wise, I know how hard it is, and I know the political campaigns have eaten you alive. But we need some serious help here. We're nowhere near. I mean, this is we got over the halfway mark, as I told you a few nights ago. We got over the halfway mark almost at the end of October. And that makes it mighty, mighty tough. So please hit that PayPal button or use the snail mail, whatever you can, if you can. That's all I can do is ask you straight up like that. I'm sorry. Thank you to those of you who do contribute. Thank you so sincerely. Thank you for all the contributions you make monetarily, spiritually, by participation. Thank you for everything you all do. Thank you to Coal River Mountain Watch, the bravest, hardest working people I know, and their efforts with a partial sponsorship to keep this all on the air. Thank you to John Fox, Peter Godbold, Ben Birch. Thank you, everybody. And always, 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 RMR. Gina, it's all for you.
show is on in less than 1 minute.
Lies! Lies, you hear me? In my creation! Lies!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. Can we get progress?
Any questions before we proceed?
Keep countdown.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.